Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We live in a world where bad is often good and good is often bad. Lots of times it's an upside-down world. Life is often challenging for our general well-being. My next guest says Christian spirituality can actually help us flourish and live a more fulfilling life. It's not just her theory, she says research proves it. Dr. Maureen Miner, with Martin Dowson and Stuart Devenish, has written a new book called Beyond Wellbeing. They say it's for the fractured, stressed, relationally broken and spiritually empty. Dr. Maureen Miner, welcome to Open House.
Thanks, Lee.
It's great to meet you. Thanks very much for coming in. Can we start by defining what human flourishing is?
Well, it's probably good to start with what human flourishing is not.
Okay.
Because when we look around us, we see that people think life is all about happiness. They think, if only I can be healthy, if only I can amass money or wealth, if only I can have lots of pleasure, then life is going to be good and I'm going to be very happy. But in reality, we find that these things are very fleeting.
Yes.
They're very uncertain. Money can go in a stock market crash. Our health can suddenly be taken away from us in an accident or a sudden illness. People die and we lose the happiness that we have, even in good relationships. And so people are looking for purpose in life, for meaning, for happiness in ways that aren't satisfying, and they're not flourishing.
Although, is it a bad thing to want to be happy?
No, it's not a bad thing to be happy, but if we see happiness as an end, that's a problem.
So what's it going to look like in our lives when we're flourishing?
Okay. When we're flourishing, we have the best of ourselves being expressed. So one way, one component or dimension of flourishing is what the psychologists call self-actualization. And so people do strive to understand themselves and to be the very best people that they can be. But we can get stuck on that as well. Flourishing also has another dimension, another aspect, which is caring for other people. And if we are actualized in ourselves and caring for other people, we are flourishing.
It's probably worth asking you early on, why is it that you in particular, with your qualifications, dig into the whole question of flourishing?
That's a good question. I'm a psychologist and I have worked as a research psychologist as well as a clinical practitioner for all of my career, for many, many years. And as a result of that, I have seen students at university who are looking for something in life. They're looking for a career, for money, for status, prestige, and so on, and they can miss out on what flourishing really is. In my clinical practice, I see people who are unhappy, who are depressed, who are anxious, who have difficulties in relationships, and they're longing for something more than what they have.
From the wealth of your experience in that then, do you see those challenges in the human condition getting worse? Is life tougher today? And if so, why?
I think life is tougher today because we don't have any ready-made systems of meaning that we can tap into. We don't know what to make of the trials and tribulations that beset us because we grow up expecting happiness.
Yes.
We also find it difficult to sustain relationships. And when we're thinking about what leads to flourishing, the theme of the book is that spirituality and Christian spirituality in particular is very important for human flourishing. And one aspect of spirituality is being connected to other people.
Are we having more difficulties in our relationships and connecting with other people because we're loving ourselves so much these days?
Oh, I think that's very true.
Yeah.
I think there's a focus on self the self-actualization component of flourishing.
Can you explain what that means? Yes, self-actualization.
Okay. Self-actualization is a term that's used by psychologists to mean a kind of harmony within the self when the person has a good sense of who they are, a sense of self as integrated, their emotions, their thoughts, their behaviours are well integrated. And when the people have that kind of integration within themselves and a sense of contentment in what they're doing and how they're doing things, then there's a sense of being actualized and whole as a person.
So you use the term Christian spirituality. Spirituality covers a multitude of different things today. What do you mean by that?
Very good question. With my colleagues, I have been grappling with what is spirituality for many years. A glib answer would be that spirituality is the internal or the individual side of religion, that religion is the public, the ritualized side. And of course, today people say, I don't like religion, I don't want to be religious, but maybe I can be spiritual. That seems to be something better than being religious. Yes, it is the individual side of it, but it's a lot more complex than that. There are actually three ways in which we can talk about spirituality. We can talk about people seeking spirituality. There's a search, a quest for something beyond the individual. There's also a notion of spirituality as being an experience, something that we can actually have, a sense of something beyond ourselves. And sometimes we can think of spirituality as something we might actually attain. We might see or can point out a few people we think of as really spiritual people. And they seem to embody a way of life, something ongoing that attracts us and that we would like to have an exhibit in our own lives. So yes, spirituality can be a seeking, it can be a state, it can be something we actually attain, something beyond ourselves. But if we dig deeper into that and say exactly what is the content of it, what's it all about, I think there are three main aspects. One is meaning. Spirituality is a search for meaning. We want to understand what's life all about? What's my life all about? We want an experience of things being meaningful, not just random all over the place, but we want to live that in a continuing kind of a way. So meaning is a very important aspect of spirituality. A second aspect of spirituality is transformation. When we find that the ready answers don't say it all, when we're confronted with sickness or suffering or death, we want some hope of transformation, that this isn't all there is, that somehow we can be changed, maybe in a small way, maybe change so we can accept something really hard that's happened to us. Maybe an illness, maybe a death, maybe a loss of job or something very dear to us. So we seek transformation. We want to experience that transformation. And of course, in many of the major religions, there's the notion of religious conversion as the typical kind of transformation where everything is changed and made new. But we don't want it to be just for one time only. We want this to be ongoing, a transformation that lasts. And then finally, spirituality is about being related, being connected to others. So we seek a sense of being in connection with our families, with our friends, with other people in the world. And if we have an inkling of something beyond the world, the divine, we seek connectedness with the divine. We look for that experience of connectedness. We feel lonely when we don't have that experience of being connected with other people. And in particular, we can feel lonely when we don't experience connectedness with God, with the divine. And it's something that we seek and want to experience in an ongoing kind of a way.
And you made the distinction, and it's an important distinction to make, I think, between that and religion.
Yes. Religion can provide us with a way into meaning, transformation and connectedness. Religion can provide us with the written testimonies of people who have experienced these things. In Christianity, the Bible is God's revelation about meaning, about transformation, about being connected to God. And so the texts of religion, so in Christianity, the Bible, or in other religions, the texts can point people to meaning and transformation and connectedness. It can explain to us the experiences that we have. So when we have an experience of being connected, it's religion that can tell us, or the religious texts and writings that can tell us, well, what's that all about? How can we understand it? And religion can give us a language to explain it to other people, to share it, to explain it to ourselves, so it can empower us as we are trying to change.
Of all the spiritualities, why do you put Christianity front and centre?
Let me give you the theoretical reasons first, and then we might talk a little bit about the research after that. Theoretically, we are seeking meaning that goes beyond ourselves, because we know that humans die, that the material world doesn't last. So the first thing is we're seeking some form of transcendent meaning. That takes us to the religions that offer transcendence. Now, when we come to many religions, we find that the meaning of life is given in terms that don't offer us full hope for transformation and relatedness. So the meaning system of Christianity itself tells us about absolute transformation, complete spiritual transformation, complete forgiveness, complete newness of life. And it also tells us about a very intimate relationship with God. It's more intimate than in any other religion, including Judaism and Islam. The relationship that we have with God in Christianity is through Christ and through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's that very deep and very immediate connectedness with God that makes Christianity, in theoretical terms, if you like, the kind of religion that can offer the most to human beings. It's the best spirituality, if you like, to meet our human needs. It's the best for us.
You mentioned the research. What does the research say?
Okay. The research says that the kinds of behaviours that are associated with Christian spirituality, so the behaviours of prayer, behaviours of drawing close to God, caring for other people out of love for God, these kinds of things do result in people experiencing greater well-being, greater happiness. Now, you might say, so what? The argument is all about flourishing and not just happiness. But these things empirically, or in the research, relate to human happiness, to human well-being, and satisfaction in a life that's given to other people.
It would be too simplistic to imagine that you're just after converts to Christian faith in what you say.
True. I think we're all seeking something beyond ourselves. And I think all of us are aware of a need for meaning, to be transformed, to be connected. And we start from different positions. So when I talk to my students at university, I'm aware that many of them have got different backgrounds, different religious backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, and yet they're all seeking the same things. So if I can talk to them as a psychologist about what the psychology says about self-actualization, but going beyond that to human flourishing, then they can start on their own spiritual journey, their own spiritual seeking and experiencing, and hopefully to find the best possible spirituality in their lives.
Does it mean that a person without Christian spirituality, or in fact without any spirituality, cannot flourish?
Certainly people without any kind of spirituality are going to have difficulties at some time in life as they suffer, simply because they don't have that reference outside themselves. So people without a spirituality are the materialists in the world. They may be atheistic, they may consciously reject religious beliefs, or they might just be drifting. So they're floundering in life when they encounter suffering, when they encounter things that seem to be meaningless to them. They're either drifting or floundering, and without some sort of way of moving beyond themselves and their own immediate experience, no, they can't flourish. But coming back to your question, what about people who have another form of spirituality? Can't they flourish? Well, I think it's important to think about flourishing as one of degrees rather than you have it or you don't have it. Okay, we all want it. We all might be hoping that we can move towards it, develop into a more and more flourishing life, and that there'll be setbacks along the way. So I think people with different forms of spirituality might be on that journey to flourishing along with Christians. Now, there are some forms of Christian spirituality that aren't helpful for flourishing. We can get stuck in a very rigid kind of meaning system. We can get stuck in self-satisfaction. I've transformed thus far. This is as far as I want to go.
Yes.
I'm not going to move anymore. I'm fine the way I am. And people can get stuck in their ways of connecting to other people. And some of our relationships can get dysfunctional over time without renewal. And so both Christians and people pursuing other forms of spirituality can get derailed along the way.
So for those people I mentioned before, the fractured, the stressed, relationally broken and spiritually empty, as they begin to flourish, in practical terms, how are their lives going to be different? What's going to look different, be different?
Okay. They're going to look different because in themselves there's a greater harmony and integrity. And so you can see that who they are is what they're doing. What they say is who they are. You can see that they have what we call thick relationships with other people. These days, we often have very superficial relationships. It's all about how many friends you have on Facebook. You know, how many people might claim you as an acquaintance in your life. And that's not a thick, that's not a strong kind of relationship. As soon as another guru or fad comes along, you know, you're going to lose your those kinds of friends. They're the fair weather friends. But when we have deep relationships with people where we open up to other people, we share the good and the bad of ourselves with other people, when we can care for them and accept caring from them, we can have deep relationships. It's not just what individuals need, but Christians in churches, in communities. People in communities need these kinds of relationships if they're going to flourish. So we will see those thick, caring kinds of relationships in places where people are flourishing.
So you've approached this from the research, from your professional point of view. What about personally? Are there ways in which you can relate your life is different, better in a way, more flourishing because of this Christian spirituality?
I think it really becomes evident when you face suffering in life. And in my own life, I have experienced the death of a very dear husband after 30 years of marriage, and that was to cancer. And in the time when we knew his illness was terminal, it was a time of thinking, what is this all about? Yeah. What is life and death and family? Who are your friends? How can we not just go through this, but how can this be something good and positive for us when death itself is not good or positive? But the way we can deal with it, the way we can grow through it, can be good and positive. So in my own life, I have looked at ways of dealing with human suffering, with things that we didn't want to happen, that come upon us as it comes upon every human being. And through that, I found that God transforms suffering into peace and good. And I found that God gives new relationships. And God, most importantly, gives us himself as we go through those difficult times. So for me, yes, I can think back to that one time in my life that was very dark, but at the same time, it was a time of flourishing. And it's so good now, in having gone through that and experiencing the contentment, the joy that God gives, and knowing that because of my experiences and the work that I've done in with my colleagues in research and writing, that these things do resonate with other people.
It's an amazing thing to be able to say, and there's great wisdom in all of what you say. It's been a fascinating and helpful conversation, I'm sure, for all of our listeners. Dr. Maureen Miner, thank you so much indeed for your time. The book is Beyond Wellbeing, and we'll put the details up on our Open House Community Facebook page. Maureen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.